Revive us, 3. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His hope is covered of his blood. Support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found. Rest in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
202.
When the storm in its fury on Galilee fell, and lifted its waters on high, and the faithless disciples were bound in the spell, Jesus whispered, "Fear not, it is I, it is I, it is I, fear not, trembling one. In the midst of the gloom, fear not, trembling one, it is I. The storm could not bury that word in the way, was called through the tempest to fly. It shall reach his disciples in every age, saying, "Be not afraid, it is I, it is I, it is I, fear not, trembling one, it is I." In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the gloom, fear not, trembling one, it is I. When the spirit is broken with sorrow and care, and comfort is ready to die, then darkness shall pass and the sunshine appear by the life-giving word, it is I. It is I, it is I, fear not, trembling one, it is I. In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the gloom, fear not, trembling one, it is I. When death is at hand, and this cottage of clay is left with a tremulous sigh, the gracious Redeemer will light all the way, saying, be not afraid, it is I, it is I. Who flung the stars out into space and holds them in their proper place? Who, like a curtain, stretches the sky to make a place for birds to fly? Who sends the wind and sun and rain to nourish fields of golden grain? Who forms the seed that makes the wheat and gives us daily bread to eat? Who in the winter sends the snow? Oh, tell me who, if you should know. Who has designed each lovely flake? What wondrous power did it take? Who made the never-ending sea? Who formed the grass, the vine, the tree? Who made the cattle on the hills and creeping things in rocks and rills? Who holds all things within his hands? Who holds all houses, fields and lands? Who keeps our souls each passing hour? No man has this almighty power. It is the Lord and he alone. Man has no glory of his own. We have no goodness we can claim, so let us publish his great name. He takes a sinner, vain and wild, and makes him as a little child, subdues his will and guides his feet, and draws him to the mercy seat. Let all creation lift its voice, and in the Lord let us rejoice. Let all his works praise and confess the glory of his righteousness.
What about 172?
My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray, take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from Then I
I want to say welcome each and every one of you that's come to be with us today. I hope we've come with one purpose, and that is to lift up God's name and to His glory. It's good to see all of you here. It's good to have visitors. Appreciate them. Appreciate all that has come here. I want to make a statement that this past week, my house has resembled in a small scale what all the stores look like. We had a tree, and we had stuff all over the tree, and we had candles in the windows. We had a lot of stuff that I don't necessarily think is necessary, but some people do. But we had a lot of stuff in the house, and there was absolutely nothing to show anything but happiness and joy. The same things were in the stores. The stores had bigger trees. They were decorated fancier. Their candles were bigger. Their presents were bigger. The music was clearer. Everything was there that I had in my house. But the difference between that which was in the stores and that which was in my house was the presence of love, the presence of being able to understand what it was about. The stuff in my house wasn't there for show. It was there as something meaningful, where the stores, by nature, put things there to sell and they want to look nice. What I'm trying to get at is there was a difference between my house and the stores. And it was because of love, the fact that the family could gather together during this time. Albert Schweitzer once said that we all should be thankful for those that rekindle our inner spirit. The difference between the stores and my house was that inner spirit. I say this to say to you, I sincerely appreciate the cards, the words of encouragement, the monetary gifts, the flowers, the fruit, the words that came through to me that makes the difference between the store and my house, that rekindled my inner spirit. Please accept my thanksgiving for your well wishes for this season. It was duly noted. Please don't look for me to write a thank you note. We still haven't got our Christmas cards out yet. So that gives you an idea how far behind we are. But please know that your gifts and thoughts were greatly appreciated as a rekindling of my inner spirit. Thank you so much. We have some that are in the hospital that I want to remember this morning. Elder Willie Brain has been there for probably 3 weeks. Has congestive heart failure and other problems that we're not real sure of, but he's in Annie Penn. He's pastor of Pine Ridge Church, Oak Grove Church, Stewart Church, and Shiloh Church. His being in the hospital puts a great burden on many people. We wish him well. We ask God to be around about him and his family, that they restore his health and find out all of his problems and that he is soon on the road to recovery. Understand that Brother Robert Tuttle, the deacon at Pine Ridge Church, is back in the hospital. He's had reoccurring lung problems, and he's in the hospital for that. We want to remember him in his time of need. Dear sweet lady, Sister Annie Lawless passed away a couple weeks ago. You probably knew her, Brother Keith. Letcher Lawless's wife with him. She was sweet, sweet lady. She passed away last week, and I asked you to remember her family in your prayers also. Her husband was a wonderful old deacon that always had a word of encouragement for young guys like me when we were starting out. I thought a lot of them. Is there anyone else that we need to remember this day?
Virginia Hilton.
Thank you. Sister Virginia Hilton, I don't know how many of you know her. Been a fixture in the old Baptist church for years and years and years. I hate to think how many old Baptist people she had cooked meals for and provided overnight lodging for over the years. It would stagger your mind, I expect. She's in the hospital at Stewart with congestive heart failure also. No, it's not. I don't think that's what it is. It's some other problems, muscle spasms and stuff. And, she's going to have to go to a nursing home pretty soon. Remember her and her family also. Remember Brother Radford and his problems at Martinsville Church. Who else do we need to remember?
Paul Lindley.
Has anybody heard anything from him?
I've seen him last Thursday. He's going back to church.
He is. He's able to come back.
He's not
to church.
Driving, but they did.
Brother
he's
Paul.
Better, a lot better than he was.
Yeah, that's great. Prayers are answered, I think. Brother Paul Lemon's a good old deacon, has had a stroke, and he's on the road to recovery. He's being slow. Good to see Brother Hilton here today, I saw, and Sister Haney. Began to worry about him. I was going to put a mark by their name as being absent today and come in at the last minute. So it's good to see them.
I've got to take another treatment January 5th.
January 5th.
Be back next Wednesday, yeah. I believe.
Yeah. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It'll be Friday or Thursday. One of the days. Okay. But be in prayer for him as he undergoes his, the next treatment. The Lord's been good to him and brought him through a lot of trials and tribulations, and we certainly want to remember him. Anyone else? Brother Keith, you have a song that we might sing.
175.
Number 175. Stand and rest your legs if you have a mind to as we sing, and I will endeavor to go to the Lord in prayer.
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, bless. Jesus, let's redeem.
for thee, the most holy and righteous God, the only true and living God that we look to this day, that we bow before in humble matters we know how. Gracious and holy God, we ask that thou would hear our prayers of thanksgiving for the blessings of this day. We ask, O Lord, that you hear our supplications and our trials and tribulations, and we ask that you grant peace and comfort in those days. O gracious God, as we gather here, having just gone through the days where we celebrate thy birth, gracious God, that we are thankful that we can look through all the wrapping papers and all the decorations and all the Christmas carols and look to that manger in Bethlehem, O Lord, and sing hallelujah with the angels, and O Lord, to come and see what the shepherds saw, that see that now peace was indeed on earth, that thou loved the people from before the foundation of the earth, that so much that in due time you would send your Son to be born of flesh, to take upon a body prepared, O God, that you would send your Son to die for your people, to rectify their sins, to repair the damage that was done by our sinful souls. Gracious God, we thank you this day that we're able to look into that manger and see the Son of God that would walk among us and teach us and show us, O Lord, that our salvation was here, and that, dear God, that one day he would have to die on the cross, and it was by our sins that he was placed there. And we are thankful, O God, that we can see through all the trappings of the holidays that's the purpose of our celebrations. Gracious God, we're so thankful this day that we have a hope based upon that child that was born into us, that we have a trust based upon the holiness and righteousness of the Son of God being manifest upon this earth as Emmanuel among us. Gracious God, we are thankful this day for all that we have and that we can feel in our heart. We're thankful, O Lord, that we're able to come out this day and gather and sing the old songs of Zion. We're thankful, O Lord, for the walkers and the canes and the aches and pains that felt once again that it was good to be in the house of the Lord. We ask, O God, that you bless all those that come out here to be with us this day. We ask that you give them a hearing ear and an understanding heart, that they may see thy glory proclaimed in our stuttering and our stammering tongues. Gracious God, we ask that we hear thy glory proclaimed in all the songs that we sing and the feeble attempts at our prayers. Dear God, we ask that you bless our hearts that we may see that thou art our true God and there is no other around. Gracious God, we ask that you be around about this dear country that has been so good to us, and we ask you to bless the leaders that they could look unto thee for the decisions that they should make. And we ask that you bless all the leaders and bless all the soldiers and all the people that protect and defend this country. Be around about them and keep them safe, O Lord, and cause them to be able to be with their families in times like this. Gracious God, we thank you for this and all other blessings, and we ask you to take this all in our attempts to glorify thy name. And it's through thy name of thy Son, Jesus, that we ask. In Christ's name we pray, and amen.
Amen.
If I was to ask you, what's your first response? If I called out the name of Solomon, I think just about everyone that had had any knowledge of Scripture would say that Solomon was the smartest man. He was granted a divine wisdom by God, and I think he was the smartest man that we have record of. And he, at the close of his life, when he was getting old, he recorded some lessons that he had learned in his life. The most noted thing that we learn from Solomon is that all the things that man normally attributes to being important, Solomon says, is all vanity. We put importance on a lot of things, the things that's near and dear to our hearts. And he says, it's all vanity. And he said, I've tried everything under the sun, trying to find happiness. And he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes for our benefit, that we wouldn't make the same mistakes that he made, and to show us how to live to find true happiness. And it's not in following the directions of man, but it is in being obedient in following after Christ. We have a hard time getting that to sink in. We know it, we will admit it, but to live it is hard for us to do sometimes. The last chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, and I'm going to do something I don't like to do, don't like to hear nobody else do it. I don't like anybody to take part of a sentence or part of a verse and use that, because it's too easy to be distorted, but I'm going to do it anyway. In the 12th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, he says, remember now our Creator. And it goes on in the days of our youth. But we'll get into that right now. I want you to understand that he's saying, in our quest to be happy, we should remember our Creator. And you said, well, that's foolish to even start on that, because nobody's going to forget God. But he's making a point there. We normally think of God as being this huge force somewhere. And our main concern is to not make God mad. We'll try to please God because he's bigger than we are. And that's how we generally think of God, that he's something that you don't want to get irritated at. You want to do best you can because you want to impress him. And what Solomon is telling us, that he's more than that. You need to understand that he is that which caused all things to be. That includes us. He is more than this mysterious force that we can't see and we can't touch and we can't control. He is what caused us to be. That gives him an authority over us that's hard for us to comprehend. I like to make stuff. I like to whittle, and I like to weld, and I like to carve and nail, and I like to assemble things. I can't comprehend someone that creates. We say, well, he's creative, or he created that. No, he didn't. He just assembled stuff that God created. So it's hard for us to understand what a creator is. And that's what Solomon is telling us. That think of God whenever you're trying to consider your quest to be happy. Think of God in terms that he is your creator. And at the end of that last chapter, he says, let us hear the conclusion, or let us hear the end of the matter of what is in this book of instructions I have written for you, that you might be happy. He says, this is what I have found out of what life from the Creator is all about. This is the motivating factor that you should have to live a happy and a full life. He said to do those things, you should fear God and keep his commandments. To fear God is not to be afraid of him. We know that is a reverential fear that he's talking about. It's to be in awe of him. To be in awe of God is not to understand God, but it's to understand that you can't understand Him. He is, you need to understand that He is so big that you can't understand Him. He is so powerful that you can't understand. You need to understand that His love and righteousness and purity is to an extent that we can't comprehend it. If you understand that you can't understand it, then you have the fear of God. That includes our reverence to Him, our faith in Him, our trust in Him, our hope in Him. And He says, when you have that as your background, He says, keep His commandments. What that means is, be obedient to His will. Ease it up. He says, that is the whole duty of man. This is your duty. This is your purpose. This is the reason the Creator created you. You put your name in the last line. That's your purpose, is to keep His commandments. That's why He made you. If I made a coat rack, the purpose for that coat rack would be to hold my coat. He made you to keep His commandments. The reason you're here. We normally judge success in our lives by if someone is the greatest singer, we'll give them a little statue. Or the greatest actress, we'll give them say you walk on this red carpet and we'll give you this award. If you're the best wrestler, you can have this great big old fat belt. If you're the fastest runner, you can get to break the ribbon. If you're has the most money, we will give you some big award. If you are a fancy enough talker, we will that you can get the most.